Hallelujah. Don't forget the soul.
Yes, sir.
Act like apostle here.
Yes, sir.
All right, just want to know. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Always attach a seed to what you're about to receive. Just causes you to receive in a greater dimension. No, you can't pay for it, but you can sow for it. Amen. Let us get started. Father, we give you praise, glory, honor, thanksgiving for this wonderful day that you've made. We've already chosen to rejoice and to be glad in it. We thank you for our apostle. We thank you for the apostolic call and the rare anointing that's upon his life. We thank you for the purpose that you established this school. This is a school of the spirit. This is not a school where you come get book knowledge and learn about things from the earth, but this school was established so all of us can learn how to function and flow in the Holy Ghost. So we thank you for our apostle and how he's training and teaching all of us to go into that realm so that we can be different. You know, ministers can become a dime a dozen, you know, with just articulating the word, but we need the word to go forth with the spirit and with power, with insight, illumination, and revelation so that our lives will be changed forever. So I thank you for the students here online, and I ask you, Father, to give them ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to believe. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And thank you for the true teacher, who is the Holy Ghost. Say, the Holy Ghost,
the Holy Ghost is
the true teacher. Now you will notice that I will go over things. So don't get itching ears, want something new. We're trying to build something.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's the problem with the church. They keep wanting to hear new stuff and ain't walking in what you're teaching them. All right? Now pay attention. There is a great desire among untrained and unskilled believers to tap into the realm of the spirit, to tap into the realm of the supernatural. I will constantly rehearse that to you because, see, we are a supernatural people.
Yes,
and so I believe that this entire semester and year is going to be one that you'll never forget.
Yes,
for you will see apostle moving in dimensions and realms of the spirit that none of us have witnessed before.
Yes,
and so if all of us can pull on him, amen,
amen,
then that's just going to carry over into every other session that you have.
Amen.
Amen. Now, stepping into the prophetic flow means to step into the supernatural or to step into the realm of the spirit. Do y'all understand that? When you hear the term the prophetic flow, just simply mean you're stepping into the supernatural. You're stepping into the spirit world. Amen. And as Apostle Thompson often tell us, what? In order for us to enter into the supernatural, in order for us to enter into the spirit world, what do we need? We need an escort. Yeah, we need a spiritual guide. Amen. In order for that to happen. Amen. Now, let's define the prophetic flow. What does that mean? The prophetic flow. It is defined by the author as flowing accurately in the anointing. Flowing accurately in revelation knowledge and flowing accurately in the Holy Ghost. That's what we mean when you hear the term entering or flowing in the prophetic flow. See, moving in the Spirit is a flow.
Yes, sir.
You understand? It's a flow. So now, in order for us to enter into that flow, amen, as I say, we must not only be escorted, but we got to get rid of all ignorance, spiritual ignorance, and we got to flow and get things out of the way that's causing confusion. Amen. And you got to get rid of erroneous teaching, erroneous doctrine. Amen. That's the only way you can learn how to flow. And let me also say this. This ministry in school is not designed to teach you what you want to hear and what you learned from the last church you was at. You have to come and be open, because oftentimes you block out the Spirit by previous teaching.
Yes, sir.
So you shut down automatically because you think you know where somebody going.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So now there are some terms, as I started last week, that we must familiarize ourselves with. Number one being born of the Spirit, because some people lump it all in together. You know, they think to be born of the Spirit means to be filled with the Spirit. So there are three terms I want you to familiarize yourself with. Number one being born of the Spirit, the indwelling Spirit, and being filled with or baptized with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I think if you did any of your assignment, it'll be easy for you to follow. Amen. Y'all know all those passages of scripture that I told you to read? Oh, you didn't think I would come back and ask you. But I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. All right? Because somebody might end up lying. And we don't want to do that, right? All right. Now, say to be born of the Spirit. All right. What does that mean? To be born of the Spirit means you're born out of, or birthed forth from the Spirit. All right. As I mentioned before, Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, everything I'm teaching you, he's our example. So number one, he was born of the Spirit. What does that mean? That means he was conceived of the Holy Spirit and was born of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I gave you some scriptures on that. Matthew 1:21. Get it. Matthew 1:21-22. Then we're going to read Luke chapter number 1. And we're going to look at verse 31 and verse 34. It's very important for us to understand these facts and terms. All right. Matthew 1:21. Read. What does it say? Matthew 1:21.
And she shall bring forth a son.
Oh, OK. I was just trying to see. Yeah. See, I'm just a Kojic boy. I like people to read. Amen. It's good for you to hear yourself read. Then I'll repeat what you read. So now you're getting it twice. OK. All right. Now, my reader, he to the back. So I don't know how he got back there, but he should have just squeezed in somewhere. But anyway, read. What it say?
And she shall bring forth a son.
And she shall bring forth a son.
And thou shalt call his name Jesus.
For he shall save his people from their sins. All right. Luke 1:31. Notice to say, and she shall bring forth. She shall bring forth. Luke 1:31.
And behold. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb.
Now this is the angel talking to Mary. When the angel told her, Mary, you are highly favored. You are blessed of the Lord. You're going to carry the Christ child. Mm-hmm. All right. Luke 1:31. Say what now?
And behold. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb.
Mary, you shall conceive in your womb.
And bring forth a son.
And you shall bring forth. Notice conception, then birth.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
What I said? Conception, then birth. See, everything in life begins with the seed,
yes, sir.
The word. See, the seed is the word of God. Everything in life begins with the seed. The seed is the source of all life. The seed is the supplier of all life. And the seed is the sustainer of all life. So it begins with the seed. This angel just didn't show up. This angel, Gabriel, was given words from God to speak to Mary. To be planted. So that conception and birth can take place. Are y'all with me? That's how you get born of the Spirit. No different for us. All right. Now, drop down to the 34th verse, because, you know, we have a lot of territory to cover. You should read so we don't have to go through all this all the time. What the 34th verse say?
Then said Mary unto the angel. Now, look.
This year's about the supernatural. So what I'm teaching you is about the supernatural. There's nothing going on without the supernatural being involved, because the Holy Spirit is the orchestrator of everything that you're experiencing and seeing. Now watch what Mary says. Verse 34, read.
How shall this be?
Mary said, how shall this be?
Seeing
that I have not been intimate with a man. So she thinking along the natural lines. You know, somebody come to you, say the same thing, you could be thinking the same way. She say, how can this be, seeing that I know not a man? Read the response.
And the angel answered.
When she say, how this going to happen? Notice what the angel said. Read.
The Holy Ghost shall come upon.
Pay attention, come upon. Before conception, before the indwelling presence, and before being filled with the Spirit, you will notice that the Holy Spirit always first comes upon. Comes upon. You're going to see it. The Holy Ghost shall what?
Come upon thee.
And the power
of the highest.
And the power of the highest. All right, so watch this. The Holy Ghost is always accompanied with power.
Yes, sir. Always.
Power to cause change.
Yes, sir.
You understand that?
Yes, sir.
That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says you will be filled with the Holy Ghost and with power.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So the Holy Ghost just don't come with himself.
Right.
He comes with power.
Yes, sir.
Supernatural dunamis power. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, read.
Therefore also,
that holy thing
which shall be born of thee.
Uh-oh, conception, birth. That holy thing which shall be born of thee
shall be called
the Son of God. Y'all got that?
Yes, sir.
Say, born of the Spirit.
Born of the Spirit.
All right. Now, here's something you need to know. Whatever you are born of, or whatever you are born from, you must remain connected to in order to live and to function. Did you hear that?
Yes, sir.
Whatsoever you are born of, whatsoever you are born from, you must remain connected to in order to live and to function. All right. All right. Now you want me to explain? If Jesus is born of the Spirit, he must now learn to live in the Spirit so he can function. All right. You understand that? It can't be no separation. See, that's the only way to start breaking down people who've been taught being born and being filled is all the same thing. No, it's not. See, born of the Spirit, born forth from the Spirit. Now watch this. You remember in Genesis chapter 1, when God created the heavens and the earth, the Bible says he told the waters to bring forth the living creature. Yet when he made man and animals and different things, he fashioned and formed them from the earth. All right. Now, whatever you came from, you got to remain attached to in order to survive. Now, we talked about this flood that, you know, God told Noah to build a boat to save he and his family. But nobody never stopped to think. Nothing happened to the fish.
Right.
You want to know why? Because they were born from the water. Didn't matter how much water came down, they were connected to the water. He didn't have to take two fish and put on the boat. Two whales and put on the boat. Why? Because whatever you are born of or whatever you are born from, you must remain connected to in order to live and function. Are you listening to me? See, the animals that he had to take on the boat two by two, see, they needed the land that they came from in order to survive. Are y'all with me? So in Luke 2:40, there's a reason for this. Because see, he's born of the Spirit. Now he must, watch this, remain connected to the Spirit, and he must grow in the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Come on. Yes, Luke 2:40, read.
And the child grew
and waxed strong in spirit.
Filled with wisdom.
None of that happens apart from the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Spirit. Watch what I'm about to tell you. He was being trained by the Spirit the entire way. No sense you looking at me. Read your own Bible. Now watch what it say. Now that's Luke 2:40. Now you got John 6:63. Come on. See, he was born of the Spirit. Not only was he born of the Spirit, he's a quickening spirit. John 6:63, come on, what does it say?
It is the Spirit that quickeneth.
The flesh profits nothing.
The words that I speak unto you,
they are spirit.
They are life.
So see, Jesus' birth was of the Spirit, and Jesus himself is a quickening spirit. Come on, 1 Corinthians 15. I don't have time to go through all of it. 15:45. Come on. So y'all see, being born of the Spirit now for believers, that's the new birth. That's what Jesus meant when he said you must be. In order for you to enter into the kingdom, in order for you to have spiritual perception in the kingdom, you must be born of the same Spirit that I'm born from. It's possible for me to be talking to you, but you hear what I'm saying, but you don't understand. The reason that you don't understand is because you can't read this mail in your fleshly mind. Are you with me? All right, now y'all in 1 Corinthians 15:45? All right, what does it say?
And so it is written. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul.
The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The first man, Adam, God fashioned and formed. See, when God creates, people say this statement, they might not like me after the day, but there's no way God made something from nothing.
That's right.
Because that would deny who he is.
Right.
Whenever God wants to make, when God wants to create anything, God creates, he speaks from himself. And when God wants to make something, he goes to what he created with his word. And then he, like the earth is word. Let the dry land appear. And the dry land appeared. When God created man, he created him in his image and in his likeness. So when God creates, he speaks his word. You understand that? Man was both created and made. And in order for man to live and function, God is a spirit. Man is a spirit. So in order for man to live, he got to remain connected to the one who got him here. You ain't that smart, child. The manufacturer is who you should take the automobile to. That's why Pep Boys ain't here no more.
Right.
You know, you can't take a Mercedes-Benz to Pep Boys. You're gonna get a pepped up job. Yeah. It's best to go to the manufacturer. Uh-huh. Are y'all with me in here?
Yes, sir.
Hmm?
Yes, sir.
So the first Adam was made what?
A living soul.
And
the last Adam
was made a quickening spirit. You ain't going to be able to follow him unless you get in the spirit. That's why Jesus did a bunch of stuff that Jesus was. Why you think Jesus got the blind man healed by spitting? Because he wasn't functioning according to the natural. He was functioning in the supernatural.
Uh-huh.
Now, most of y'all wouldn't have got healed because y'all have been telling, ooh, that's nasty. Come on, talk to me. God ain't got time for that. I'm just trying to help y'all while I'm here. All right, so y'all understand born of the Spirit?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Only one time did Jesus go through being born again, and that was in St. John, the third chapter.
Right.
When Nicodemus came to him by night and said, Master, we know that no man can do the miracles that you do except God was with him in the person of the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
never
sir.
Forget that. Everything Jesus did, Jesus' entire life and ministry was a life and ministry of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
The same way ours is supposed to be.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So notice when Nicodemus came, And Jesus told him, you must be born again. You must be born from above. He did the same thing Mary did.
Right.
How can a man be born when he's old?
Right.
Can he go back into his mother's womb for the second time and come out?
Right.
Jesus said, no, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's why your mother who gave birth to you, hello somebody, and your father who planted you in the earth, that's why they're responsible for helping you to live and to function in this earth realm.
Right.
That's why we need fathers,
yes,
not baby makers.
Yes,
we need more fathers. We're living in a fatherless generation. So it is in the natural. So it is in the supernatural. That's why there's a lack of apostles, because apostles are fathers. So now they have a lot of bastard children running around with churches because they never had a father to birth them. So that's why the apostle is set as first in time, first in order, first in rank. All apostolic government goes through the apostle. These are spirit things. These are supernatural things. Every pastor, if you're a prophet on there, I don't care what your title is, you need an apostle in your life.
That's right, that's right.
Somebody who's going to train and teach you.
Right.
But don't get mad at me and quit. I'm sorry I came to this school. I thought I was going to be getting some credentials. You are in the spirit. Now, y'all with me?
Yes,
I'm trying to show you something. So Jesus said, no, Nicodemus, you can't enter the second time in your mother's womb and be born, because that which is born of the flesh is, and that which is born of the spirit is.
Spirit.
Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. You must be born of water and of the spirit. The spirit and the word, the water represents the word, the seed, the spirit and the seed agree. Nothing is done in the earth realm without a word from God and the Holy Spirit moving. You should have learned that in Genesis. And the earth was out without form, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Bible says, and the Spirit of God, watch this, moved up on the waters.
Yes,
hello.
Yes,
that's why before birth or conception take place, the Holy Spirit come upon. Because when the Holy Spirit come upon, it's like incubating you, because he's waiting on a word. And when the word come, then everything else begins to happen, because the Holy Spirit need a word from God in order to move. All right. So now you understand born of the Spirit. You're born of the word, because nobody just gets saved on their own. Somebody gonna have to preach to you the word.
That's right.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
And it's the Holy Spirit that, watch this, convicts you.
Yes, sir.
And preps you and quicken you to receive that word.
Yes, sir.
You can't come to the Father on your own. The Spirit got to draw you.
Yes,
all right. So that's born of the Spirit. The next thing is, Now, born of the Spirit, conception and birth. The indwelling presence.
Yes, sir.
See, the indwelling Spirit. That has to do with presence.
Yes, sir.
See, God's presence. That's not being filled with the Holy Ghost, child.
That's right.
Right.
But I need to show it to you. Because if I don't show it to you, you're going to think I'm not. Now, I just went through St. John 3:5. Right. So we don't have to go there. But we need to understand that being baptized and being filled with the Holy Spirit is not the same. And remember, in this class, the reason we are building this case is because in order to move in the gifts of revelation and prophecy, you got to have the right foundation.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.
You got to have the right foundation. Now, so the indwelling presence has to do with, watch this, conception, birth, presence. The indwelling presence. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. All right. So now we got St. John 4. St. John chapter number 4, verse number 13.
Yes, sir.
See? St. John 4:13. We don't have time to read all of this. It's a story about the woman at the well. Mm-hmm. Remember when Jesus went to the woman? Jesus said, I have need to go to Samaria. And when he started going through Samaria, he met a woman at the well. And he asked the woman for something to drink. Amen. And she started talking about how great the well was and her father Jacob. And now, yeah, went through a whole bunch of stories. Jesus said, ma'am, hold that. He said, hold that. He said, ma'am, if I drink this water, you're going to give me, I'm going to thirst again. But the water that I'm going to give you, you ain't gonna ever thirst no more. Y'all know why men are hungry today? It's a spiritual thirst that cannot be satisfied with secular humanism.
Yes,
and seeker-friendly churches.
Yes,
you're gonna have to be apostolically trained.
Right.
It's gonna cost you something.
Cost you something.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me now?
Yes, sir.
All right. So now St. John 4:13. You got it? What it say?
Jesus answered and said unto her.
Ma'am, whosoever drink of this water
shall thirst again.
But if you drink of the water that I'm going to give you, you shall never thirst. Aha, there it is. But the water that I shall give him
shall be in him
a well of water
springing
up into everlasting life. So y'all see it?
Yes,
can
sir.
You see? Say indwelling presence.
Indwelling.
See, that's the well of water that's on the inside of you based on you being born from above. Now, I don't have time to go into all of this because time is moving. You know, you have Romans 8, 9 through 11. Yeah, we're going to go there. Romans 8, 9 through 11. Come on, because you'll see it clearly. See, there are some people teach you if you're not filled with the Spirit, you're not saved. That's a lie. In order for you to get filled with the Spirit, you got to be saved.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You don't get filled with the Spirit to be saved.
Right.
You get filled with the Spirit because you are saved.
You are saved.
Yes,
that's right.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And just because you got saved don't mean you got all the Holy Ghost you're going to get.
Yes, sir.
Quit tripping.
Quit tripping.
Get off that pablum.
Come on.
Every child of God must be filled with the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Jesus. All right, come on now. Y'all, Romans 8, 9 through 11. Come on, real quick.
But
you are not in the flesh.
But
you are in the Spirit.
If
so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. The Spirit of God dwells in you at the new birth. Hello.
Wow.
There is one baptism that saves you. One baptism that saves you. It's called Spirit baptism. That is where the Holy Spirit himself immerses you into the body of Christ.
Right.
Not water baptism. Water baptism is only an outward symbol of an inward transaction.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
If you say by water, let's all go to the Mississippi River and dunk everybody. But ain't nothing gonna happen. You just gonna go down dry and come up wet. A dry devil to a wet one. Romans 8, 9 through 11. Read what it say.
Now if any man have not the
Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. That's, listen to me, that's your connection to him. But if the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your death-doomed body by his Spirit. That's that indwelling presence. Okay, so y'all see, now that's two levels. Now the third level, see, and it's all based upon come up on.
Yes, sir. Come
up on. Yes, sir. You read it in all that you was going through.
Yes, sir.
Now the final one that we have time for is being filled with. Being filled with. You need to understand, I need to be filled with the Spirit. And I need to quit shucking and jive. And let me help some of y'all out. Don't be like the Kojic church I came out of. I am not cussing you, Kojic. I'm just telling it like it is. It's not just the initial filling of the Holy Spirit that you're after. You want to constantly be being filled. Remember, we're talking about a river.
Yes, sir.
You can't dam up a river.
Right, right, yeah.
You can't jam up a river.
Right.
A river is designed to flow.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now,
come on.
Come on now. So y'all understand that being filled with the Spirit means flowing.
Yes, sir.
Y'all got it?
Yes, sir.
Means what?
Flowing.
All right. So now we need to quickly, because time seemed to run. All right. Luke 24:49. Mm-hmm. See, in Jesus training these apostles, he said, now listen, boys, I done trained y'all. Watch this. But you ain't ready yet. Y'all little wet behind the ear whippersnappers. Come on. Luke 24:49. What did it say?
And behold,
I send the promise of my Father upon you. I send the promise of my Father upon you. Read. But I need you to wait. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued or endowed with power from on high. Are you with me? All right. Y'all got that. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Then you shall be witnesses unto me. See, he got to come upon. He came upon you for conception. He came upon you for birth. He came upon you because of his indwelling presence. Now I'm coming upon you so you can get the bubble in that well. See, when a river meets a well, then the well ceases to be one.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Y'all heard that?
Yes, sir.
See, that's why it was a well, but now Jesus talking about now we got to get you to the river.
Yes.
And the river don't ever run dry, baby.
Right.
Y'all got it? Yes. All right. So you got Acts 1:8. Y'all got that. Then you got Acts chapter number 2. Come on, 1-4, real quick.
And when the day of Pentecost
was fully come,
they were all with one accord.
In one place.
And suddenly
they came a sound from heaven
as of a rushing mighty wind.
Now notice, and that sound filled all of the house
where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them
cloven tongues like as a fire.
And it
set upon. Oh, there it is again. And it sat up on. Oh, this is an individual thing.
Yes.
Now, here's what you need to understand. So when people start trying to trip about, listen, in every baptism, there's a different agent. John said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. John was doing the baptizing. But John said, there's somebody coming after me who's mightier than me, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. Now, watch what John said. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost
and with fire. So Jesus is the agent who baptizes you or immerses you into the Holy Ghost so you can have some fire and power. Don't get the agents mixed up. When you get baptized in water, you can't possibly get all the Holy Spirit that you're supposed to get. Because who baptized you in water? Paul said when he was writing to the church at Corinth, I thank God I baptized none of you except Silvanus and the other person. Now, whether I baptize anybody else, I don't know. But water baptism is not being filled with the Spirit. Crying is not being filled with the Spirit. It, you could cry because the Spirit is upon you. But if you're going to get the water out, if you're going to turn the well into a river, you got to let the tongue get loose. Well, watch this. Notice how the scripture read. They appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were watch the term. They were all filled. Now, in that upper room, there was 120. Okay, I hope Catholics would know this. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in the house. I believe if every Catholic knew Mary, the Virgin Mother, was a tongue talker, the whole Catholic Church would talk in tongues overnight. Because they believe in the Blessed Virgin Mother. Well, she was a tongue talker. Because she was in the upper room and they were all filled. All filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So you ain't filled until you get in a language. And see, that's when we start getting into this prophetic flow. Remember, when you see the gateway to entering into the moving in the gifts of revelation and prophecy is speaking in tongues.
Yes, sir. That's the gate.
That's why you got to build yourself up. Praying in the Spirit ain't a game. Praying in the Spirit is a spiritual thing. The Bible say he that prays in an unknown tongue, he that speaks in an unknown tongue, ain't talking to men. I'm talking to God.
Yes, sir.
PTI, pardon the interruption, but I wasn't talking to you.
Right.
It's supernatural because God gives me a language. Watch this. Unknown to me, but known to him. Bypasses my brain so I can get a spiritual operation. Then he had nerve enough to tell me, pray that I can interpret what I'm praying. Because the object is to move into a greater, deeper understanding and a deeper realm of the Spirit. Are you with me? Now, you remember we talked in John 4 about the indwelling presence. But in, I finished that, right? Huh? Where they all were filled? Huh? All right. What happened when they all filled? They spoke in tongues. All right, John 7, 37. Come on, I got a few minutes. Then I want to close with Acts 19. See, I don't have time to go through every instance, but in Acts chapter 10, the first Gentile converts spoke in tongues. So don't tell me you're filled with the Holy Spirit if you're not speaking in tongues. Don't be afraid to speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit is not tongues. But you can't ask for sugar and say, keep the sweet.
Yes, sir.
You can't ask for a lemon and say, hold the sour.
Yes, sir.
You can't ask for the Holy Spirit and then tell him, I don't want them their tongues because somebody lied and told you that's of the devil. Well, if I was the devil, I'd tell you that, too. Because I know if you get deep into that spirit world and learn how to walk in the spirit. Let me say this. John said, upon whom you see. John said, the one who sent me to baptize, say, upon whom you see the Spirit of God descend and remain. That's the Son of God. Now, we don't emphasize this enough, but Jesus was a tongue talker.
Absolutely.
Because there's no way that I'm going to have the same spirit and I'm going to be doing something different than what he was doing. And the Bible says he was filled with the Spirit without measure. So if I got filled with the Holy Spirit and make no mistake about it, Jesus was a man full of the Holy Ghost. Everybody that the apostles sent out and sent them out in apostolic ministry, he said, look among you and choose men who are full of the Holy Ghost. You don't need to be out here operating if you ain't full of the Holy Ghost. Am I helping you? Then we close with St. John chapter number 7. Oh, no, we're not. We close right now.